نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى has connected us to his most beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who is the leader of mankind, the leader of anbiya, the leader of messengers alayhi musallatu wa sallam. And as a result of this connection, the Ummah has benefited greatly. It will continue to benefit greatly until the day of Qiyamah and also in the Akhirah. As a result of this connection, just as our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the best Nabi from amongst the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, he is the best messenger from amongst the messenger alayhi musallatu wassalam, his ummah is the best nation from amongst the nations that have come into this world. The ummah, the nation of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, the ummah, nation of Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, the ummah of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, the ummah of Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, approximately 124,000 anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam were sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the guidance of mankind. So just as our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam is the best from amongst the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, the prophets alayhi musallatu wassalam, our ummah is the best from amongst all the ummats that were sent into this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the glorious Quran. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the khayru ummat. You are the best ummah. You are the best nation. A poet mentions this in an Urdu couplet. كِيُوْنَا پَائِ تَيْرِ أُمَّتْ خَيْرِ أُمَّتْ كَا خِتَابِ. کیوں نہ پائے تیری امت خیر امت کا خطاب. Why should not your ummah, the poet is speaking as if he is speaking to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Why should not your ummah acquire the title of خیر امت. کیوں نہ پائے تیری امت خیر امت کا خطاب. Oh my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, why should not your ummah acquire the title of خیر امت, the best ummah. تو ہے جب خیر البشر خیر الرسل خیر الانام. When you are خیر البشر, best of the humans, خیر الرسل, best of the messengers, خیر الانام, best of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you are the best amongst the messengers, when you are the best amongst the humans, and when you are the best amongst the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including the malaika, then your ummah has to be the best from amongst the ummats, from amongst the nations. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said in a hadith, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَى الْأَنْبِيَاءِ حَتَّى أَدْخُلَهَا. وإن الجنة حرمت على الأمم حتى تدخلها أمتي. Jannat is forbidden upon all the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam until I enter Jannah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the first to enter Jannah. Before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no Nabi will be able to enter Jannah. Not even Adam alayhi salam, not even Ibrahim alayhi salam. And further, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ حُرِّمَتْ عَلَى الْأُمَمِ. Jannat is haram. It is forbidden upon all the nations. حَتَّى تَدْخُلَهَا أُمَّتِي. Until my ummah enters Jannah. So we are last to come in this world, but we will be the first to go in Jannah, inshallah. So it is a very great favor upon us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has made us individuals of the ummah of His most beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has made us members of that ummah which is the best in His eyes. He has made us members of the ummah of that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is the best in His eyes, who is the most virtuous in His eyes, and who is the best in His eyes from all aspects. He was the most handsome. He was the most brave. He had the most taqwa. He was the most knowledgeable. He was the most generous. And one of the many benefits, one of the thousands of benefits that this ummah has acquired through this connection is His teachings. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed the deen upon His advent. After our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no new Nabi will come with a new Sharia. No new Nabi will come with new rules and regulations. The door of prophethood has been closed. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Ana khatamun nabiyin. I am the seal of the prophets. Seal of the prophets. When a letter is sealed, then nothing comes after that seal. So I am the seal of the prophets. I am the last prophet. La nabiyya ba'di. There will be no nabi whatsoever after me. That means no new nabi will be born. And no new nabi will come with a new sharia. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come, but he will come as my follower. He will come as my follower. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will follow the Quran. He will follow the Ahadith. He will follow my Sharia. And he will guide the Ummah according to my Sharia and my teachings. This is an honor from the thousands of honors that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was bestowed with. Khatmun Nubuwwah, the finality of prophethood. He is the final messenger, no messenger will come. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, Law kana Musa hayyan. If Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam was alive, Lama wasiyahu illa tibai. Then he would have had no option but to follow in my footsteps. That means after my advent, if a prophet of a very high status like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was to come in this world, then in order to acquire salvation in the hereafter, he would not have had another choice than to follow my deen, to follow my teachings, to follow the Quran and follow the ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. It is for this reason when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will descend, he will follow the deen of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So from the many benefits, from the many favors that we have acquired as a result of our connection to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, one great benefit is his teachings. No revelation can match the glorious Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam such a book, such a great book, such a comprehensive book, that no other revelation to Musa alayhi salam, revelation to Isa alayhi salam, revelation to Dawood alayhi salam, revelation to Suleiman alayhi salam, no other revelation can match the revelation that is revealed to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. His deen is very comprehensive, his teaching is very comprehensive, his sharia is very comprehensive. It is for this reason we find guidance on every step. Allahu Akbar. Guidance of every step. At the moment we are discussing the masail and the precepts and the rulings and the etiquettes and the sunan and the mustahabbat pertaining to journey. And today we have learnt that Sayyiduna Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a very great companion of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Madina Munawwara, Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was 10 years old. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stayed in Madina Munawwara for 10 years before his departure to the hereafter. So when our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from this world, 10 years after migrating to Madina Munawwara, Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was 20 years old. A young man of 20 years old. Despite that, he is from amongst those Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alihi majmain who have narrated and reported the most ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So he met our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the age of 10. And thereafter he had the fortune of spending 10 years with our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in Madina Munawwara. Not day and night, but a lot of his time. Because his mother Umme Sulaim radiyallahu ta'ala anha was related to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as a result, she handed Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, she handed over Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so that he could serve our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he would remain in his service. He was the khadim of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And explaining the very high class characters of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the very high class toleration of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anas radiyallahu ta'ala says that in 10 years never did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam question me, why did you do this, why did you not do this. That means, when I was supposed to have done something, and I didn't, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, why didn't you do this? He was so patient, so tolerant. And when I was not supposed to do something, and I did it, because I was a child, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, why did you do it? And he said that out of grief or out of anger, in these 10 years, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not utter a word as insignificant as oof to me. He did not show any anger to me. He did not show any type of resentment to me, verbally or physically. The most he would say would be Tariba Jabinuk. That is as far as he would go. Tariba Jabinuk. May your forehead become dusty. Tariba Jabinuk. May your forehead become dusty. Now, a person may say that this is worse than saying oof. Because may your nose or may your forehead become dusty, that means that may your nose and may your forehead go towards the ground and touch the ground. That means may you become disgraced. It is the phrase used to show disgrace, that his nose or his forehead has become dusty. That means he was made to kneel down, he was made to put his forehead and he was made to put his nose on the ground. So this is a posture, kneeling down in front of somebody, having to put your nose, having to put your forehead on the ground. If somebody forces you to do that, if a king or somebody who has authority over you, that means you have been disgraced. For your mistake, kneel down, put your forehead on the ground, put your nose on the ground. Punishment, sort of punishment. So when somebody says that Ragima Anfuk, may your nose become dusty. Tariba Jabinuk, may your forehead become dusty. That means may you do something as a result of which people disgrace you. So Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu explaining the high level of character of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that he out of resentment or anger, I never saw him in 10 years say even oof. The most he would say is Tariba Jabinuk, may your head become dusty. So a person may say that Tariba Jabinuk is more worse than oof. So the answer to that is that whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Tariba Jabinuk, he did not mean disgrace. What he meant was whenever somebody made a mistake, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say Ragima Anfuk. Or he would say Tariba Jabinuk, may your nose or may your forehead become dusty. He did not mean that may you be disgraced. What he meant was, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the tawfiq to repent, to ask for forgiveness for the mistake you have made, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you the tawfiq to prostrate in front of him as much as possible, and as a result may your nose and may your forehead become dusty when you prostrate and when you go in sajda. So when you, may you become very pious. So whenever he would become angry, he would say, may you become very pious. May you become a person who would perform sajda over and over again. So this Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he has narrated the most in 10 years. From the age of 10 until the age of 20, he remained in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he must have witnessed many incidents, and he must have observed many actions of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he must have heard many statements of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which he has narrated to the Ummah, and he may have learned many things from the senior Sahaba also afterwards. But from the age of 10 until the age of 20, now my brothers, my sisters, my friends, in this day and age, during this age, at the age of 20, all of you who are listening to me at this precise moment, just look at those people in your homes who have reached the age of 20 and above, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. How many ahadiths do they know by heart? In English, in Urdu, in our language. Do we have a single person in our home who knows the major masail of wudu, major masail of salat, major masail of sawm, which happen frequently? Now, if you make a mistake, you will always have to refer to somebody, an alim or somebody. So during the time of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the people were not careless. They assumed responsibility very quickly. At the age of 10, he became the khadim of Sayyidul Mursaleen. Umm Sulaym radiyallahu ta'ala anha had immense love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was like an aunt for our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was related to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would frequently visit the house of Sayyidina Anas radiyallahu anhu because of Umm Sulaym radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And he would rest. He would make qaylula. He would go during the afternoon, have some food, and then lie down, have the afternoon nap there before the Dhuhr Salat. And it was like a home for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was handed over to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's service, or for his service. If he was not matured, would he have given comfort to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or discomfort? Umm Sulaym would never have tolerated discomfort coming to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So at the age of 10, he was able, he was mature enough to serve Sayyidul Mursaleen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he served Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a way that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have to substitute him. He remained a khadim until the departure of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. My brothers, my sisters, let us also assume responsibility. It's not that the times have changed. No, we have changed. Times don't change. No change comes to the trees, or the sun, or the moon, or the days and the nights. We say times have changed. Why do we say times have changed? That means the people of the time have changed. Nowadays, I'm still young. I can't take this responsibility. No. We are just not prepared to accept that, yes, I have grown up now. When a boy or a girl reaches the age of puberty, when they become baligh, then once they become baligh, are they not responsible to carry out all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is there any responsibility in this world which is more greater than the responsibility laid down upon our shoulders by the Creator? If at the age of 15, we were unable to take responsibilities, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have fixed the age of 15. for a person to become responsible. At the age of 15, everything haram has to be avoided. All faraiz and wajibat has to be carried out. And if a person will not abide by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be questioned. Why will he be questioned? Because he is a grown up now. Because he is a responsible person now. Because he or she is mature enough now to understand what is right and what is wrong. And Allah is our creator. So he knows more than anyone else when a human becomes responsible, when a human becomes matured. And if at the age of 15 we do not become responsible, we do not become matured, we do not take responsibilities that we are supposed to at that age, that means it is we who are lacking intentionally. If we go through the list of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim, whenever we talk about Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, whenever we say Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu anhu was traveling with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Jabir radiyallahu anhu was accompanying Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna so and so was sitting in the company of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because they are Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmeen. The picture that comes in our mind is of an individual who is 60 or over 60. It is not so. Majority of the early Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmeen were youngsters. Young people. Youth. Below 40. Below 35. And many of them showed remarkable achievements. At the age of 14, at the age of 15, at the age of 16, early teens, late teens, mid teens. So let us also resolve today, my young brothers, my young sisters, let us become responsible, let us become serious with our lives, let us enjoy life also, enjoy life remaining within the boundaries set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are so many things to enjoy. If there was nothing to enjoy in being, you would not see religious people happy. In fact, religious people have more happiness and have more peace, more serenity, more contentment in their hearts and in their minds and in their lives than those people who may be very, very wealthy, who may engage in so many activities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not permit to acquire happiness. But they will not acquire happiness equal to the religious people. Every second religious person would have been depressed if there was no happiness, if there was no joy. And in this day, this age of liberty where nobody forces one to follow deen, people would have forsaken deen. There is much enjoyment. So become serious. Remaining within Sharia limits, eat well, dress well, sleep well, drink well, enjoy life, remaining within Sharia limitations. And the goal should always be, I will never make my Creator unhappy who has granted me all the resources of happiness. It would be very unfair. I would be very disloyal to my Creator if after my Creator giving me all the resources of happiness, I make him unhappy. So enjoy life, but remaining within Sharia limits and become serious. Assume responsibility. Don't remain a child until the age of 25 and 30. And sometimes beyond as well. So Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, this great sahabi radiyallahu anhu, he has narrated this hadith that before a person undertakes a journey, those bidding him farewell, those saying goodbye to him should recite this dua, fi hifzillahi wa kanafihi. Fi hifzillahi, may you be in the protection of Allah, wa kanafihi, and may you be in the shelter of Allah. Zawadakallahu taqwa, may Allah make piety your provision. That means may piety and may taqwa remain with you. That means during your journey may you be safeguarded from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may the shield of taqwa remain with you. Wa ghafara dhambak, and may Allah forgive you your sins. If you do slip and if you make a mistake, may Allah forgive you your sins. Wa wajjahaka al-khayra, and may Allah direct you to goodness. Haythu ma kunta wa ayna ma kunta, wherever you may be. So wherever you go, may Allah protect you from sin. May Allah direct you and guides you towards good. And if you slip, may Allah forgive you your sins. Such a beautiful dua. Such a beautiful dua for those people who are going on a journey. So I was saying, my friends, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has connected us to His most favorite Nabi, His most beloved Nabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has connected us to His most virtuous Nabi, to His best Nabi. Unique. He is simply the best. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us so many benefits. If He is the best, then everything that Allah will give him will be the best. His Quran will be the best. His companions will be the best. His seerah will be the best. His teachings will be the best. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got so. And from amongst those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us is teachings. Teachings. On every aspect, He is teaching us how to take the steps, how to behave, how to do, how to say, how to worship, on every step. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And simple things. Sayyiduna Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, the same sahabi, he is the son of Sayyida Umme Sulaim radiyallahu anha, who is related to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and was very, very affectionate to our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are so many interesting incidents in the books of Seerah, in the Ahadith, regarding her affection and her connection with our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the love and the connection of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towards her and her family. Umme Sulaim radiyallahu anha. Umme Sulaim radiyallahu anha, after the demise of her first husband, married Abu Talha radiyallahu anhu. So Abu Talha radiyallahu anhu was the stepfather of Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu anhu. Abu Talha radiyallahu anhu was also a very eminent companion of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was very, very affectionate to our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam too. The whole household. So Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had a brother, step brother, who was born from the second nikah of Umme Sulaim radiyallahu anha. So Umme Sulaim radiyallahu anha gave birth to Anas radiyallahu anhu from the first husband. And after his demise, I cannot recollect, most probably demise, she married Abu Talha radiyallahu anhu, and from this nikah, the second nikah, another child was born, and the name of this child was Abdullah. and this child passed away in its infancy. There is a very well known story regarding this, which time does not permit me to go into at this moment. Umm Sulaym radiyallahu anha, the child passed away at the age of 2.5-3. After the suckling period, this child passed away. Abdullah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, whenever he would visit the house of Umm Sulaym radiyallahu ta'ala anha, he would spend time there, he would eat, and he would talk to the household. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so accommodative that he would not only pay attention to the elders, he would pay attention to the children also. This is also a very important point. We should pay attention to the children in the home. Normally we ignore them. Normally we don't pay attention. No, go, communicate with them. Engage with them. Teach them good. If they make a mistake, engage with them. Just telling them off is not tarbiyah. Is not tarbiyah. Tarbiyah is to sit down with them and talk to them about the problems that you are encountering from them. If they have a habit of lying, if they have a habit of making noise, shouting, running around here and there, breaking things, not paying attention to what you are asking them to do, not paying attention to school homework, madrasa homework. We need to engage with them just as we would engage with a teenager. Why don't we behave in the same manner with a teenager as we behave with a child who is 3 years old or 4 years old? Because we know that the teenager will retaliate. And we behave in this manner with a 3-year-old child, 4-year-old child, 5-year-old child, because we know that it will not be able to retaliate. So it is oppression on our part. We need to do tarbiyah of our children, but we need to learn how to do tarbiyah of our children. So we should talk to the young children also, pay attention to them, joke with them. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam one day visited Umm Sulaym radiyallahu ta'ala anha, and he saw Abdullah, who was young, 2.5-3 years old, he was a toddler, that he was looking sad. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what has happened to Abdullah today? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed that he had a bird. He had a bird which is known as Nughar. Nughar. And Nughar is a canary type of bird, with red beak. So small bird, colorful bird, pet bird. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told that his pet bird has died, that is why he is experiencing grief. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in order to amuse him and in order to cheer him up, joked with him. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a little rhyme, and he said to Abdullah, Ya Aba Umair, Ma fa'alan Nughair. Nugharun, Nughar is the canary bird, and Nughair is small canary bird. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of calling him Ya Abdullah, he said Ya Aba Umair, O the father of Umair. Ya Aba Umair, O the father of Umair. Ma fa'alan Nughair, what has happened to the Nughair bird? What has happened to the small Nughar? What has happened to the small canary bird? Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'alan Nughair. Now we find this in the books of Ahadith, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Umm Sulaym radiyallahu anha, Abdullah, who was a toddler, he looked unhappy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked as to what had happened, why he is not lively today. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told that his pet bird, the canary bird, has died. So that is why he is experiencing grief. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam started to cheer him up. And in order to cheer him up, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said a rhyme. Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'alan Nughair. Now this child was understanding. So Ya Aba Umair, oh the father of Umair. One is the rhyme was very attractive for children like rhymes. So Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'alan Nughair. So it cheered him up a bit. And then Ya Aba Umair, oh the father of Umair. Now he was still a very young child, but he understood that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is calling me the father of Umair. So he must have smiled, he must have enjoyed himself. Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'alan Nughair. Oh the father of Umair, what happened to the small canary bird? Canary yellow with red beak. Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'alan Nughair. Just to cheer him up. This is all that has happened. But the teachings are so comprehensive, and every amal and every practice and every word of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or every statement of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is so comprehensive that the Sahaba rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, the Tabi'in rahimahumullahu ta'ala, the Tabi'in rahimahullahu ta'ala, and the Muhaddiseen and the Fuqaha of the Ummah have benefited themselves and the Ummah from every statement. Now this is a humorous statement of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But from this humorous statement of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the ulama, after having pondered over it, have deduced 60 religious masail. 60 religious masail. Allahu Akbar. And I always say to friends that when a single humorous statement contains so much knowledge, then imagine the depth of knowledge contained in the serious statements of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'alan Nughair. Now somebody who does not have a father, who does not have a child, to call him the father of so and so, it is not a correct statement. So from this the ulama have deduced that it is permissible. It is called kunya in the Arabic language, kunya. So one is the name Umar. Umar is the name of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, and his kunya is Abu Hafs. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, his name was Abdul Rahman, according to the most preferred opinion. But he was given the kunya Abu Huraira. Ali radiallahu anhu, his name was Ali, but he had two kunyas. One was Abu Hassan and the other was Abu Turab. So kunya, attributing the father towards, father or the mother towards their child, the eldest child. So Abu Huraira, Abu Hafs, Umme Hafs. If the child's name was Hafs in the case of Abu Hafs, in the case of Abu Huraira, there are other discussions. Abu Abdullah, for father, the father of Abdullah, Umme Abdullah, the mother of Abdullah. So here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling a mere toddler the father of Umair. He was not married, he was not a father. He had no son with the name of Umair. So from this the ulama have deduced that in Sharia it is permissible to give kunya to somebody who has yet to get married. And you can give kunya to somebody who is a toddler or who is young, who is grown up but who has yet to get married. And you can give kunya to that person also who gets married but who has yet to have a child. And you can give kunya to that person also who has been married but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not given him a child. the ulama have deduced this masala from here. And thereafter the ulama have said that it is better to give kunyah to children. Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to encourage people to give kunyah to children. And there are many benefits in giving kunyah to children. Number one, Abu Umair. So, when you give somebody this name Abu Umair, then you are taking good omen that this young child, who is only 3 year old, 4 year old at the moment, will inshallah live to get married and will be granted a child by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the name of that child will be Umair. So, this is one example. The ulama have deduced 60 masail from this small incident from the life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And we can understand from every incident so many things. He was so kind, so caring, so sympathetic that he paid attention to everything. When we as a family go to meet another family, we will just meet with the elders of the family, and we will engage in conversations, and we will smile, and we will laugh, and we will have tea. And there may be a young child sitting in the corner with a lot of grief, he will not even notice. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam noticed, and after noticing it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam felt it his responsibility to try to cheer that child. And in that there are so many lessons for the ummah, and so many masail have been deduced. So another point that I would like to emphasize here is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teachings were very comprehensive, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored that group which is known as the ulama with a very deep understanding of the Quran and Hadith. Because from this incident, Ya Aba Umair, Ma Fa'alan Nughair, is it possible for a very learned person, from the worldly perspective, very experienced person, very learned person, a Muslim who is a professor, who is a politician, who is a prime minister, who is a president of a country, who is commander-in-chief of an army, and who is embodiment of all the excellences that one can achieve in this world, a Muslim person, so bright, so much experience. You put this incident in front of him and say that, can you deduce any masala from here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted the ulama special insight. And it is for this reason we are asked over and over again to seek guidance from the ulama in deeni matters. Not only because this is their field of study, no. It is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them a special insight in deen matters. And whenever authentic, reliable, God-fearing ulama and muftis who are recognized by the ulama also to be of a very high caliber, whenever they give us a guidance, and if that guidance does not go along with our worldly knowledge or worldly research or our logic, then we have to put that logic on one side and follow the guidance of the ulama, which is based on the Quran and the Hadith. It is for this reason we are told over and over again to associate ourselves with the ulama, sit in the company of the ulama, read authentic, reliable books of the ulama, listen to reliable, authentic lectures of the ulama. Because they have been granted special insight, Allah, special insight in understanding the message of the Quran and the Ahadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great favor in the form of Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this connection. Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the favors and all the benefits that we have acquired through this connection. And be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the teachings with which we have been bestowed with. And the prime way of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to study these teachings through authentic sources and then to implement them and practice them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instill in our hearts immense love for our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Inshallah, every Friday, sometimes briefly, sometimes in detail, we will try to discuss some aspect from the life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whilst discussing a particular aspect or a particular incident from the life of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through the barakat of that particular incident or that aspect, we will learn so many other things also. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters are requested to read the seerah of our beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم and also to learn his teachings from authentic sources and by listening to authentic reliable ulama, sitting in the company of authentic reliable people of ilm, male, female, both, alhamdulillah. And number two, we should try to implement these teachings in our day to day life. Be that teaching fard, be that teaching wajib, be that teaching sunnah muakkada, sunnah ghair muakkada, mustahab. The most insignificant of the amal of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should try to practice and acquire its blessings. And number three, we are indebted to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so we should read as much salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, durud e paak, as possible. Daily we should make a practice of reciting at least 300 times durud e paak. And the best formula is Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. And the shortest is صلى الله عليه وسلم, صلى الله عليه وسلم, one of the shortest, صلى الله, at least three times. And on Friday increase this, and we should do this with the view of increasing this over the coming months and over the years. 300 to 4, 400 to 5, 500 to 600, and every Fridays 500, 600, 700. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil mubin al-kareem.